Basically, the point of these services really is just we thought we all lead really busy, hectic lives. We're probably all going back to work and college and school and kids and different things tomorrow, new year, new resolutions. And actually, it would be really nice to create some space outside of all that busyness to just take time out to encounter God. So that's why we're here tonight. I hope you're up for that. I'm just going to grab a glass of water because my throat is dry. A couple of people over the last couple of weeks have asked me, how is Encounter going to be different from other services that happen at PMC? And the honest answer to that question is it's not going to be super different. Sorry if you were expecting something totally radical and off the wall. But basically, we're going to have some worship. We're going to hear from God's word. And then we'll probably have some more worship. So quite a standard formula. But there will be some differences. So the first difference is that we will have on-tap tea and coffee, which most of you have found. I find coffee is very conducive to good worship, so hopefully that will fuel your worship. The second difference is the worship might be a little bit more contemporary than some of you are used to. You might not know all of the songs, so please bear with us with that. Join in anyway. We're sure you'll pick it up really fast. So yes, the worship might be a little bit more modern than perhaps you're used to. And then the third difference is we are going to be a bit more proactive than perhaps you can be on a Sunday morning about just creating space to experience God and experience His Holy Spirit. So we will be putting time aside in the service to do that. Those are the key differences, really. So thank you so much for being here. I think the last thing for me to say is, as I've been praying about this evening, I've had all sorts of insecurities about how I'm not going to encounter God and no one else is going to encounter God either. And the thing that I've come to realise is actually, thankfully, encountering God is nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with how many Bible verses I've read this week or how many hours I've spent in prayer or generally how spiritual I'm feeling. I've got a high priest, if you read Hebrews 14, and it's because of Jesus that we can encounter God. It's because of who Jesus is and what He's done, and it's nothing to do with us. So if you, like me, are feeling not quite spiritual enough to encounter God this evening, then put all of that aside, because thankfully we don't have to worry about that. So I'll stop talking now. I'm just going to pray, and then Abby and Co will lead us in some worship. God, we thank You for the opportunity to be here this evening. We thank You that each one of us have taken the decision to take time out of our hectic lives and actually put time aside to try and experience You, encounter You, meet with You, grow in You tonight, Lord. And we just kind of put aside all of those things that we're thinking and worrying about, Lord, and we just recognize that we want to worship You and meet with You tonight. Amen. Now, in the same way we can encounter You in our homes, in our schools, in our work. God, I pray that You speak to us through Jordan this evening. Pray that You give us the ears to hear what You are saying through him and help us to have open hearts to respond to what You're saying too. Amen.
Amen. I need a cup of tea first. Coffee may fuel Sophie's worship, but tea fuels mine. However, I've got no time to tea, so I ran through this little preach last night. Basically, Sophie's given me 15 minutes. It did take half an hour, so I'm going to speak at double speed, and you'll just all have to just keep up with it. No, I won't. But I do want to talk today about something that I love about the Bible. And so something that I love about the Bible is when Bible people look all stupid and human. Just makes me feel good inside. It's the masochist in me. Because I think Bible characters can kind of come across as these saint-like, infallible people. You know, well, I mean, some of them are literally saints, and Jesus was also saint-like and infallible. But everyone except Jesus does and says some just really silly things that make you then just look at them and go, do you know what? you're actually just like us, you're just a bit more ancient. And so, with that in mind, let me tell you a little bit of Jacob's story. And it is only a very little bit. So there comes to a time when Jacob has to up and leave his family home and travel to his uncle's house. Now, that is not like down the road. His uncle lives 500 miles away, which I've Google Mapped it, so you know that's right. Apparently it would take 20 days to walk that far. I'm not up for that. Basically, he was going to marry one of his cousins. But I don't know about you. I don't think that's a rabbit hole that we need to go down today. So I'm going to skirt over that one. So he's on this journey. And then at some point, he stops and he has a rest, which I think is understandable. It's a month-long journey. If we didn't rest at least once, it'd be strange. So he stops and he has a power nap. And whilst he's having this nap, he has one of those big dream visions from God. You know, one of the ones that kind of comes across as like a Renaissance painting, the way that they describe it in the Bible. You know, you've got like this big stairway up to heaven, there's a bunch of angels on it, and then at the top, you've got God who's like bellowing some wise words down to the bottom. And I was thinking, I'm not actually sure how they record those big dream visions, because I don't know about you, when I wake up in the morning, when I wake up in the early afternoon, I am in no fit state to even make words come out of my mouth, let alone write the Bible. But obviously, Jacob is more of a morning person than I am, because he did, and that's how we know it happened. Anyway, he wakes up from this dream, and he says this, so it's in Genesis 28:16. Don't bother going there, because it's literally that one verse, and I'm going to tell it to you. He says, "Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it." And this is the moment for me where Jacob starts being so refreshingly human. Because, I mean, God had followed Jacob all the way out of his home in Beersheba, and yet, in order for God to make Jacob realize that he was with him, God had to do this kind of big jazz hands musical number in his dream. And then Jacob goes, "Oh, of course, there you are, see you now." Because hindsight's a really good thing, isn't it? I like hindsight. I don't know, maybe you've had a really just rubbish day today. But I'm sure you could look back at yesterday, or last week, or last year, not that hard at this point, and see some times where you can definitely identify that God was with you. Some times that really seem like highlights and you're like, "Oh yeah, I believe that God was with me for that." So I kind of think that, I mean, I love a metaphor is what I'm trying to get at. And so I'm going to give you a metaphor. I like to think that God's presence in our life is like learning how to ride a bike. Technically, that is a simile, not a metaphor. But I'm going to forgive myself, so I hope you will as well. Also, I don't remember learning how to ride a bike, but I've seen it on TV, and this is what happens. So, your parent, or guardian, or responsible adult, as you're learning how to ride your bike, it holds on firmly, tight grip, making sure that you are going straight on that path that you want to be going on. And then, as you get slightly better, they're going to loosen their grip slightly, and then as you get more confident, it moves to just like a hand on your back, just almost looks like you're just pushing them along. And then when you, as the trainee bike rider, get super confident and you are just like flying around, then you end up with just your responsible adult's finger just kind of digging into the back of your spine. And at this point, you, as the trainee, can't really feel that at all. Except that your responsible adult is there. They are so close that should something go wrong, they can catch you from your wobble. But until that happens, you don't know they're there. That is when the metaphor starts to break down, though, because I don't know about you, but my dad doesn't still follow me around with his finger in my back whenever I'm riding a bike. Which is just selfish, really, isn't it? But at some point, I grew out of that. But you never grow out of God's presence in your life. You never grow out of God's metaphorical finger in the small of your back, ready to catch you when things go wrong, but so you don't always know it's there. Anyway, back to Jacob. So Jacob has this dream, and then he realizes God's there, and that he was and had been with him the whole time. And then Jacob says, "How awesome is this place? This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." I feel like he said it was more grandiose than that, but we'll go with it. And then what he does is he takes a rock, and he puts it on the ground, and then he calls that the temple. And it's as if, to him, God has been stood in heaven, looking down on him in God's infinite power, going, "Yeah, just got to wait for Jacob to take 3 more paces there. Great, now he's in the holy place. Yeah, now I can talk to him." As if Jacob had taken, you know, a different route, that would have completely scuppered God's plans and Jacob would never have heard from him. I often think if the Bible was a TV show, I would spend a lot of time just yelling things at the characters on the screen. And I think in this instance, that would look something like, "No! No! Jacob, that is not a holy place. You have God's presence. Jacob, you are the holy place." And then it's easy to look at Jacob, who is apparently represented by this silver tile on the floor right here. This is Jacob. To look at Jacob and go, "Oh, Jacob, you fool. You fool, of course you have God's presence." And yet, I think it's something we all do ourselves as well. You know, I try really hard and fail often to buck the idea of the church as a holy place. You know, this building, these 4 walls, as a holy place. Or St. Andrew's, or Christ Church, or wherever. Because when you're here, you're more likely to meet God, right? Except, God isn't more present when you're here than when you're in the car park on the other side of that wall. Or when you're in the middle of town, or when you're in your lounge, or when you're in a pub. Which obviously none of us have ever been in, because we are good traditional Methodists. Because you don't go to a holy place. Everywhere is a holy place, but more importantly, you are a holy place. I'm going to get that put on t-shirts. I am a holy place. Similarly with kind of big Christian events, you know, like your Soul Survivors, your New Wine, your Spring Harvest. It's easy to go into those and think, "Yeah, I am going to be in God's presence here." Except, the only thing that makes that barn in the middle of the English countryside more holy than any other place, or holy at all, is the fact that there are thousands of holy place people there. Because that's why Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross so that each of us could be holy and each of us could be a place where God rests. Actually, I'm going to rephrase that. Pretend I said this first. We'll edit the recording later. Jesus died on the cross so that you are holy and you are a place where God rests. Like, whether you feel it or not, like that finger in your back, whether you feel it or not, you are holy and you are a place where God rests. I need more tea. Maybe even then, as you were coming here tonight, though, you thought, "Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Encounter, because there I will encounter God." And I really hope you will. And actually, I'm really glad that that was your reasoning, because as Sophie suggested earlier, if you hadn't have had that reasoning, you might not have come, and then this would just be me in a big room shouting about questionable bike metaphors. And that wouldn't be as fun. Except that the moment you made the decision to come here to meet God, God was with you making that decision. And isn't that just so cool? Like, every time you decide to meet God, God is already there. It's just convenient, really, isn't it? Except I don't think you're allowed to say that God's convenient. I don't think you're allowed to say God's convenient when you're stood on a stage. I think that makes Christian blog writers' fingers twitch a little bit. I'm already anticipating the angry letters I'm going to get about that comment. I'll direct them at Sophie, it's her fault. Anyway, so, I hear your questions, though. I hear them, because I'm telepathic. You're saying, Jordan, why do we need to encounter God if God is always with us? Good question. Gets me back on track, so that's why I like it. And the answer, I think, can be summed up in one word, and we'll make this 15-minute talk slightly shorter, might actually be 20 minutes. That one word is intimacy. It's about intimacy, because an encounter with God is not just about being near Him. It's about a proper, intimate connection between the two of you. Think of your friends. Think of your friends. I don't have any, but again, I've seen it on TV, so I can infer. Think of the people that you get to spend your days with. Those people that you share your life with. Isn't that great? Isn't that just one great form of intimacy? Just sharing everything you do with the same group of people. Except I think the time when deep, kind of rooted friendships really take hold is when you have time to just kind of stop. To just stop and to be just with each other. Like, not to do anything, but just hang out. To experience not the outside world with all of its distractions and loudness and what have you, but just to experience each other as people. Makes me think of kind of the coffee shop couch moment in Friends. You know, when they just stop and they just catch up. Or the school holidays in Harry Potter. Or the third example that I can't think of right now. Always have to have three examples, though. And I think that's the difference. You know, God is always with you. But maybe we just don't often give time to just hang out. I've got another metaphor, actually. Two in one message. Bargain. God is not your shadow. I was just looking around, and actually, mine's very small at the moment. Your shadow is always there. But you never form a relationship with it. God is a friend. And for somebody to be a friend, you occasionally need to talk to them. And that's how you discover something of each other's characters. That's how you move from kind of God as a thing, God as something you don't know, something you can't quite put your finger on, something you're aware of, you're aware is with you, but you're not quite sure why. That's how you move from God as a thing to God as a person. God as a positive influence in your life. God as a friend. And so, if God feels distant in your life, or more distant than you would like Him to be, then that's not deliberate. That's not the way that your relationship was designed to work. But I think we have the power to just not accept that. To just not accept feeling distant from God. It can be easy to get blasé and go, oh, that's just the way it is. oh, that's just the way it's always going to be for me. Here's a challenge. Don't accept that. Use this opportunity today to say, I am going to pull in closer. Now, I feel like a lot of people in this room will already know a bunch of the stuff that I'm saying. Do you know what? I know everything that I've just said because I wrote it. But I know that occasionally I would love somebody to remind me. Just that little kick, you know. And that's what this is. And so I was trying to think, why are some reasons that we might, and I include myself in that collective we, why might we not be relentlessly seeking an encounter with God? And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but I wanted to try and talk into some of them. So the first one I thought of is time. Time is a big one, because life is busy. I feel that. I know that. I feel it in my bones. Life is busy. And it could be really hard to make time for your kind of human-bodied friends, let alone make time for God. But you've done well today. And I don't say that to be condescending, I know it sounds that way. But today, you've made a decision to give these couple of hours to come and hang out with God. That's assuming you knew what you were coming to. If you didn't, then pretend you did. We won't judge you. You've decided today to spend this time with God. And that's great. I need more tea. I'm liking this backing track that I've got. I also need to remember what I'm saying next. But not every time you encounter God has to be a grand gesture. You don't have to come to a church. You don't have to have one of these big Renaissance painting dream visions. As I've already said, God is always with you, and so to have an encounter with God, all you need to do is just communicate with Him. That's it. That's all an encounter with God is. And do you know what? Even better, you might hear something back. That's when it's really good. But that doesn't have to be some big, grand gesture. I often talk to God when I'm driving. I find that that's really cool, really easy, because basically the options are listen to music or talk to God. Now, I'm not going to release the stats of which one of those I choose more, because I want you to think I'm a better Christian than I am. But it's easy in those times when you just yourself to just make a little time. Just make a little time to hang out with God. And then, when you have more time, you make more time. You know, God understands. God is with you all the time. He is at least as busy as you are, you know. And so He just says, when you have time, make time. He knows your life. But maybe it's not that. Maybe it's not time that is stopping you from relentlessly seeking an encounter with God. Maybe it's more of a fear. And again, that could be a couple of things, but here's two of them. First one could be a fear of failure. Could be a fear that you will reach out to God and in response you will hear nothing. No. And that is scary. And that is rubbish. I get that. And it's not something that I can fix by talking at you for an extra minute. But I'm going to talk at you for an extra minute anyway. Because I think that the relationship between you and God is a process. Like any budding friendship. And that process is something about learning how you communicate with each other. Kind of learning, tuning into each other's frequencies, so to speak. And for some people, annoyingly, they seem to complete that entire process of learning how God speaks to them and they speak to God in their very first encounter with God, and then they just spend the rest of their lives in a constant stream of conversation with God, which is great for them, and then you just have the rest of us over here just staring at them. Just, I don't think you're allowed to hate other Christians for being a better Christian than you are, but you feel something. But it is a process, and whether that process happens quickly or if it's slower than you would hope, it's a process. There was a sketch that I saw once, and it was at Spring Harvest. So I used to go to Spring Harvest when I was young, and there was these two puppets, a pink and blue puppet called Harry and Larry, and they were like my childhood heroes. I actually got to work with Harry and Larry at the end of last year. They say never you meet your heroes, especially when you realise that your heroes now live lifeless in a suitcase together. That was a soul-destroying moment when I opened that suitcase. Anyway, there's Harry and Larry, and they're doing this sketch. And now I would play this sketch for you, but I feel like we're getting a little bit serious now. Don't know if you got that tone. Maybe not. And this sketch has a considerable amount of fart jokes in it. So I decided not to go for that. I'm just going to explain it to you instead. So Larry is in his bedroom, and he's got his telescope set up, and he's aiming it out the window up at the sky, and he is looking to see if he can see God through his telescope in the sky, because that's where heaven is. And then Harry walks in, and he explains that whilst Larry might not be able to see God or hear him or feel him, maybe even, he also can't see, hear, or feel the wind because he's in his bedroom. And yet he knows that the wind has an effect on the world. He can see the wind's effect on the world because it's blowing the leaves in the tree outside his window. And I think God works like that. You know, God, I think when we talk to him, he pours back. And sometimes he pours back directly into you, and that's great. That's when you get the whole, you know, word from God and hearing him and feeling him and nice fuzzy sensation. That's great, but sometimes he pours out somewhere else. And that's when you have to open your eyes, both metaphorically and physically, and look at your world and try and identify what effect that encounter with God has had on your world. Again, that's not a fix for the issue, but it might have said something. But then again, maybe that's not your fear. Maybe your fear is a bit deeper rooted still, and maybe it is more of a fear of the intimacy itself. Maybe some stuff has happened in your life, and because of that, you equate getting close to people as being painful. And that is proper rubbish. And again, I can't fix that by talking at you. I can't fix that. But I know that God can, because, and if I can be real with you for a minute, that wasn't me asking your permission. That was me genuinely wondering whether I can be serious for a continuous 60 seconds. We will find out. I know that God can fix that fear of intimacy because he did it for me. Trying so hard not to make jokes right now. And succeeding. So I went into last year, into 2018, having had some kind of, I don't think it's overly dramatic to say, some life-shattering stuff happened to me just beforehand. And so I came into 2018, and among a bunch of other side effects, I basically ended up distancing myself from God, creating some artificial space between us that shouldn't really have been there, mainly because I knew that there were a bunch of issues that he would probably want to work out with me, and I did not want to do that, so made some space, and that fixed that for a time. Except then mainly because he just didn't stop nagging at me throughout the first half of last year just did not shut up. It was really quite annoying. About halfway through the year, I had the most intense encounter with God that I have ever had. And I'm not underplaying this, like, it was unreal. Like, it's what I imagine a drugs trip would be like, except I had taken nothing, I promise you to that right now. Nothing. It was amazing. And that encounter was the start of the curing process. It wasn't the end. It wasn't some big, you know, closing ceremony. Well done, you're finished, you're fixed now, off you go. It was the start of a process that I'm very much still on. And so I say those things. I say that because that could happen for you as well. And I say all of those things. I mention a fear of failure, fear of intimacy, and the time issue, not to point them out as issues with you, not to make you feel bad, not to sort them out even, but in order so that when we come now to being able to encounter God, that there are no excuses. That you're not there, sitting there thinking, oh, I can't do it because of this reason, that reason. I know that God can fix reasons, even if you don't want Him to. And so, the last thing I need to tell you. Oh, this is important. Nearly forgot it. The last thing I need to tell you is that this is not a one-person thing. You know, God has not been sat up on some cloud somewhere, just, you know, thinking, oh, when so-and-so reaches out to me, maybe I'll go and meet them. God is constantly reaching out. God has been waiting for this moment. This moment, whether it is your first time seeking an encounter with God, or your 1 billionth time seeking an encounter with God, God has been waiting for this exact moment right here to meet you. For this moment where you say, God, I want to know you more. Whether that's God, I want to know you at all, or God, I just want to know you deeper. God has been waiting for this moment right now when you reach out and you make an encounter.
Okay. We are going to have another time of worship in a minute. And basically, Jordan and I would love to create some space where actually we can pray with people and can give people the opportunity to just ask God, say, yeah, God, we're willing, we want to encounter you. And to reiterate what Jordan said, this isn't about trying to get fuzzy feeling or achieve super status as Christians. It's actually just about growing in our intimacy with God, recognising that we are all on this journey of intimacy, and actually tonight we just want to take a step further in that intimacy with God, and we want to just have, yeah, an encounter with God tonight. So the band want to come up. That would be helpful. We are going to have some music, but we are also going to create some space for you to just have your own personal space with God, or if you want someone to pray with you, Jordan and I and others are really willing to pray as well. If there's cool. Some stuff you want to say.
Yes. So, I'm aware that some of you here won't have been to, I'm going to come down here, to a service that has this kind of, you know, ministry time before, so I kind of wanted to set you at ease a little bit and tell you that actually this is the part that Sophie and I are terrified of as well, because this is the bit where we go, yeah, we'll handle the practical stuff, God, you kind of talk to these people for 20 minutes, and that's terrifying. So we've made a little plan. I'm going to tell you the plan so that you know that there is at least some skeleton to this. And then if God decides to go off piece, we'll follow him. So here's the plan. So in a minute, we are going to ask everybody here whether you would like to have an encounter with God. And I must stress that this is not like some new Christian's prayer or anything. It might be, and if it is for you, that is awesome, and I will probably cry. But if it is not your first time, as I said, if it's your billionth time, then please still do respond. That would be awesome. And I'll probably still cry. But we're going to give you a couple of ways to respond. And so the way I would really love for that to happen is if you were brave and just came down to this little front area right here. And that's not because we think this is a holy place. As I said, I'm bucking that. It's more for practical reasons. So the first one is so that we know who we're praying for. God likes it when you pray specifically. So we want to be able to pray specifically. We want to know who we're praying for. And the second reason is that it might be part of the process for you. You know, making a bold step out might be part of your process of meeting God this time. And also, no pressure at all, but other people might be inspired by your boldness. You know, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that if you come down the front, nobody will notice. Because that would be lying. However, people have come here tonight because they seek an encounter with God. And so nobody here is going to judge you for seeking an encounter with God. So, that's the first option. We would really love you to come down to the front here and for this to be something that we can do together. If you don't want to do that, but if you still want to respond, you can stay just where you are and you can raise your hand and then we still know who we're praying for. And then after a bit, we're going to start praying. That might not be out loud. That might be just to yourself. We'll pray for you as well. We've got a couple of people milling around, Byron and Paul, that will be praying for you as well. If you need any help, give them a shout. If you need somebody to pray with you, give them a shout. Or they might just come and pray with you anyway, because they're very nice people. But if nobody's praying with you, that is absolutely fine. Because actually, all you need for an encounter with God is you and God, and both those people are here. So we're good. At some point, we're going to start playing some music. Now, that's not because God needs a backing track. That's also not because at that point when we start singing, God is finished. It's only because as you start to draw together your encounters with God, we can join together in worship. That's the idea. Actually, if you do nothing else but talk to God now, from now until when we lock up, I'll be a very happy man. And so, this is it, big moment. If you would like to have an encounter with God and focusing on nobody but yourself, and this is for everybody and anybody, if you'd like to have an encounter with God, now's your time to respond. Either come down to the front here or raise your hand. And we're going to give this time.
God, that as we go into our weeks ahead, into our new years, into our new years at work, wherever it is that we go, Lord, that we will know that we take you with us because we are that holy place. And that encountering you is not kept for these four walls, but we will encounter you every second of every day, tomorrow and in the week ahead. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Thank you for worshipping with us. Thank you for bearing with something a bit new and a bit different. I do pray that you will have a blessed week ahead, and maybe see you again.
Hi everybody, I'm Chris, I lead Alpha at our church. It's great to see lots of people I don't know. One of the big questions, if God is in control and if he does love us, why do bad things happen? And we've got a meeting before the next Alpha, which is called Where is God When It Hurts? Fantastic design by Rebecca, thank you for that. So Duke, it's Tim Thorpe, one of our ministers from the late 90s, who lost his son at the age of 13. if anyone can make sense of where is God when it hurts, Tim can. So I've got lots of posters and flyers and tickets if you like them. Thank you. It's Ullswater Community College, February, Saturday, February 2nd. Thank you. Thanks.